Welcome back to this Friday edition of Benson and Harf. I am so happy you're all along with me tonight. We are almost to the weekend, but a lot of good shows still to come, so thanks for tuning in. There's an interesting story that we here at the show have been talking about a lot lately. It all started when I got an email from my sorority's alumni association. I was an Alpha Phi at Indiana University, and I got an email saying that they had decided to join one of the lawsuits that a number of organizations had put forward against Harvard in response to basically them taking pretty stringent action against single-sex, single-gender social clubs at Harvard. This was a 2016 rule designed to curb influence of secretive all-male groups known as finals clubs. But in the process, it ended up hurting women who were members of sororities, among other groups as well. So a number of sororities joined together and other organizations joined together to sue Harvard. That lawsuit, there's a couple lawsuits, have been going through the legal process. And the story really caught us here at the show because I was in a sorority. One of our staffers was actually also an Alpha Phi. And so I wanted to get someone on to talk about it. And it turns out we have the perfect person who's joining me tonight. Danny Weatherford is the chief executive officer of the National Panhellenic Conference. It represents 26 member organizations, the largest umbrella organization dealing with the sorority experience. And today, I think, Danny, if I'm correct, was the deadline for Harvard to respond. So I know you have a lot going on. I really appreciate you joining the show tonight.
No problem. Happy to do it.
And I understand you're also a Hoosier. You went to Indiana Law School.
So. Yeah, I spent many years in Bloomington, so I'm glad to have the opportunity to chat with you.
I wish I could move this show to Bloomington, actually, because I miss it. I miss it every single day. Danny, so for our listeners who aren't as familiar with how we got to this point, can you walk them through it a little bit? Harvard put this rule in place that ended up barring people that were members of single gender clubs from leading campus groups or becoming members of sports teams. And this rule had the effect, you all argue, of hurting women who wanted to be members of sororities.
That is exactly what we believe has happened. So as you know, Harvard was an all-male school for a very long time. It was not much more than I think about 20 years ago that they officially became co-ed, but you know, they just haven't always been friendly to women. And several years ago, women at Harvard reached out to our organizations and said, we would like to be able to have sororities at Harvard. We understand the benefit of sorority membership, that women support other women through membership in sorority, that they develop a sisterhood, that there's really opportunities here for the Harvard students to get involved in those women's only organizations that would help each other on that campus. So several of our organizations went and started chapters. The interesting thing about it is that they weren't recognized student organizations at Harvard. Harvard didn't want the students really to be part of Greek life. So they said, that's fine. We'll just start these chapters kind of out in Cambridge. So they have been there for several years, but they weren't this kind of sororities that you normally think of, like your experience at Indiana University. They didn't meet on Harvard property. They didn't have a Greek life advisor. Everything was volunteer driven. Everything was off site. But here in the last couple of years, Harvard announced this policy that did say, if you are a member of one of these single-sex organizations, sororities, fraternities, the final clubs that you mentioned, you are not going to be able to be a leader of a recognized student organization or of an athletic team or to benefit from the university providing recommendations for a Fulbright or a Rhodes scholarship. So what they did was really threaten the women and you know, if you remain members or new students, if you want to join these sororities, you're not going to get the full benefit of being a student at Harvard. And they've made them choose. Although the women who have been members of our chapters while they were students at Harvard have really talked about the benefits that they received and the support that they received and the safe spaces that they were able to go into with their sorority sisters while also being students at Harvard. But now the Harvard administration has made them choose, has at one point said that they were going to ask all students to sign some kind of loyalty oath that they were and never were members of a single-sex student organization. Now, they didn't move forward with that, but they did talk about it for a while.
Right.
So now the chapters, three of our four, have closed because the women were just frightened because the Harvard faculty were asking them, are you a member of these organizations? And when they were applying to go to law school or medical school, the applications at Harvard, they asked, are you a member of a sorority? So they just felt like they couldn't, that they had to choose.
Right. And it's so bizarre to me because it seems like women were being punished for seeking out organizations that, as you mentioned, were certainly not perfect, but the friendships, the support, like you said, the safe spaces where women can come together and support each other and help each other as they navigate tricky issues during college. I don't understand what Harvard's excuse could be. Like, what do they say when they're pressed on this? And I know the legal case is still proceeding, but from a public relations standpoint, what has been Harvard's excuse for punishing women for what they were trying to fix in a totally different area?
It's very interesting because their reasoning has changed. And since the first time that they announced this policy, they originally said that this was about protecting women and preventing campus sexual assault. Well, it turns out that most of the campus sexual assault was actually happening in the Harvard-owned residence halls. Some of the data that comes from Harvard shows that. So then they changed and said the reason for this policy was because sororities and fraternities and these single-sex organizations, their values didn't align with Harvard's values, that they were too exclusive. Well, our women have shown that the sororities at Harvard are very inclusive. Almost every woman who wanted to join has been given that opportunity to join. And the demographics of the sorority chapters really showed a lot more diversity than your typical Harvard class. So wow. Harvard has changed over time, like I said, the reasoning. And it doesn't make a lot of sense. Our women, when the announcement first came out, they marched on Harvard Square. They had the Hear Her Harvard march because the university didn't talk to them. They didn't ask their opinion. They just came out with this policy and truly impacted the lives of the female students at Harvard in a very bad way.
You just put it in such stark terms, and that's why I really wanted to get you on the show tonight, because so many of our listeners were members of sororities or fraternities or have family members who were, and understand the benefits that you can, especially women, I think, get from being a member of these organizations. I know the legal case is still ongoing, but just very briefly, give our listeners sort of a little bit of information about, I know there's a federal lawsuit and a state lawsuit, just sort of a lay of the land about what is happening in the legal space in these suits against Harvard.
Sure. There are two lawsuits. The federal lawsuit is based on Title IX, and then the state lawsuit is based on the Massachusetts Civil Rights Act. and what that protects for the students at Harvard. Just because they're students, they have not given up their rights as citizens, and they will be defended, and the national organizations and the local chapters are behind these women and want to preserve the experience for women who come in the future, whether that's new students at Harvard or new students anywhere on a campus across the country.
Right.
But we do believe that this is a fight worth fighting, that we want to make sure that students in the future get the benefit of a sorority experience or a fraternity experience, and that we are ensuring that safe spaces for women continue to be available on college campuses, where women can support each other, where they can advocate for each other, where they can provide counsel and friendship to one another in those spaces that are just women, where they can feel vulnerable and let their guards down. So this is something that we will, you know, continue to move forward. We think that it's extremely important. Your listeners can really learn a lot more. There's a website that we've created that's standuptoharvard.org. There's a petition there that individuals can sign. They can learn more about everything that's happened. They can hear some video of the students actually, you know, using their own words to tell about their experiences. There's just a lot of good information on that website.
Absolutely. I'm glad you mentioned that. People should go check that out. And I know that you all are digesting a response from Harvard today, and this will keep moving through the legal process. So we certainly wish you luck. We will stay on the story and update our listeners. Dani Weatherford from the National Panhellenic Conference, thank you so much for joining the show tonight. I really appreciate it.
You're so welcome. Thank you for covering this important story.
Of course. Have a great weekend. We will take a break and be right back after this.
You're listening to Benson and Harf.